Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Bridge.
It's a simple plan, really. That's the beauty of it. Worf, trust me. This is going to work.
Trust you? You never had any intention of obeying the captain.
I wasn't going to let those people die just because your captain started quoting Federation dogma to me.
Your duty was to respect the captain's orders and to uphold the Prime Directive.
Duty? That's all that really matters to you, isn't it? Well, I refuse to be bound by an abstraction. The lives of the people of Boral are far more important to me. You worry too much, Worf. You always did. Everything will work out.
You have disgraced yourself. And you have disgraced me. And I want nothing more to do with you.
Why did the library book have to go to the hospital?
Something about stories, and it's
because it hurt its spine.
It had the most
hurt its spine. Did you make that up?
No.
Are you back on the library?
Somebody
joke?
Kicked it in the nuts.
I clicked the wrong tab. I was looking for my notes, and I clicked the library jokes tab from last week's Patreon business. Why did so few books at the library check out the Doctor's autobiography?
This is what happened last time. You kept saying more more.
I promise this will be
you the... never stopped.
Why did so few books at the library check out the Doctor's autobiography?
So few books?
Because it was such a long story.
What?
The Doctor's.
Yeah, I know. I get the connection, but like, what? Why did books check out the dachshund story? Wait, what was... Repeat the
like
joke?
The dog?
Wait, repeat the joke?
Why did so few folks at the library...
So few...
Customers.
That's so awkwardly worded.
Check out the dachshund's autobiography.
Jokes are so stupid.
In other words, why was the dachshund's autobiography not borrowed so much? Because it was such a long story.
Yeah, that's... You could, I mean...
Why, though?
What did the librarian say after she was told?
No, you're doing it! Patrick, you're fucking doing it! Well, you say you're done, and then you say another one.
Oh, no.
And it goes on for like six jokes.
No, we can't do six jokes.
I know,
then
still
people stop listening.
That the reader hadn't read Fitzgerald. You've got to be kidding me.
Oh, man.
It's so terrible. Yeah, it just doesn't. You've got to
be kidding
you've
me.
You've got to be kidding
like, who decided to go there?
I'm sorry. That is the end. It would have been malpractice if I had not read that.
You got to be kidding me.
You've got to be kidding me. Okay. Hello. Welcome to It's Got Star Trek. It's the 230th episode of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Oh, really? Okay. I lost it.
Yes. That is correct.
Well, now I'm back on track. Thanks.
Okay.
230.
Welcome.
230th.
Okay. We are discussing TNG's Homeward. It's another seventh season episode.
Yeah,
season
man.
7, episode 13, Homeward. We will be getting right to that very quickly, very soon.
But first.
Yes.
But first, I wanted to thank, we have another Patreon. Among the ranks of the Patreon patronees, I don't know what the term would be. Fraser, thank you. In fact, it was Fraser who had sent in a voicemail demanding that we provide some facility to give us money, and so we complied.
I remember that.
So we're happy to have you join us, and for all of the rest of you out there, if you are interested, we do now have a Patreon, patreon.com/ It's Got Star Trek, and we're putting up extra bonus content up there as frequently as we can, building out that library.
It'd be funny if it had a different name.
We got. It does have a different logo. I changed the logo so instead of a Star Trek, like a Starfleet symbol, it has a dollar sign symbol.
It was like Patreon and like Darth Vader Yoda.
Oh, all right. DarthVaderYoda.com. Yeah. So check that out if you're so inclined. Last week, we were doing library jokes.
You were doing library
jokes. Yeah.
I was, and it was great. Dan and Jesse just thought they were the greatest things ever.
It was so
you
funny.
You can't be serious.
Well, that's because last week we discussed All Our Yesterdays, which has a librarian in it.
Yeah, man.
So I thought library jokes. Mm-hmm. Get it?
Libraries are tight.
They are.
No, I do not.
Okay. Well, that was a good episode. So everyone should check out our podcast episode and
check it out.
You can go to the Patreon and try stuff for free, right? They give you free previews and stuff, and there's some free content up there. So
that is not possible.
No, what are you worried about?
It isn't. Oh my God. It is
not possible.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Yeah, so go check it out. You can even sign up without paying. You can get the free content that's up there in the preview. So check it out. It's got Star Trek. No, patreon.com/it'sgotstartrek. Okay.
Then perhaps there is hope.
Okay. And then
do we have any letters?
No, we don't have any no letters or voicemails this week, but we do have a couple of news-em-ups/podcasterolls.
You can't be serious.
I forgot to note that a few weeks back, I was a guest on Unplanned Trek's 50 Shades of Trek series.
That's right.
It is a formidable responsibility.
It was. It was so fun. We discussed TNG's Up the Long Ladder, also known It's Okay to Be Racist Against the Irish episode.
I see.
It was so much fun, and I was invited by Isaac and Andrew from Unplanned Trek, along with Captain Goodwill from the Trekking Up North podcast, and we had a wonderful time, and it's a proper video, so you can either get it in audio form, I think it's episode 96 of Unplanned Trek on the podcast format, but it's on YouTube too, if you go to Unplanned Trek's YouTube page, and just check out all their stuff. They've got all these awesome videos where people do watch-alongs, sort of live commenting on episodes, along with their regular podcast content. So really good stuff. Check that out. I will put the link in the show description, of course. Okay, catching a breath. Now, last news-em-up podcasterol, I wanted to remind folks who may not realize, I think most people do, but some folks may not realize that just because Strange New Worlds is in between seasons does not mean that the premier Strange New Worlds podcast, Open Pike Night, is laying fallow. They are working hard. They are putting out tons of content. And for those who don't know, Open Pike Night, they get these great interviews with all manner of Star Trek creatives and actors and on Strange New Worlds and other parts of Star Trek. And users can write, like, send in voicemails and stuff. It's cool. It's a fun, interactive show.
This is going to work.
Yeah, it's cool. And people, you know, they had an episode with T'Pring's mom, played by Alora Patnaik, and T'Pring's dad, Michael Benyar. I think they've got David Jones coming up, he's a background actor and he's really active on Twitter. The new Scotty actor, Martin Quinn, is going to be coming up soon. I don't know if they've recorded that episode yet, but it should be coming up soon. Director Jordan Canning is another one coming up soon. So check them out, because I listen to those and I'm like, man, I can't fucking wait until Strange New Worlds comes back, because that's a fun show to watch.
Everything will work out.
But yeah,
Discovery is coming up.
Discovery, yeah, we're in good shape because Discovery is coming up. What, April 4th, I think, something like that.
Yeah, I think that's what I heard.
Yeah, which you hoid.
That's what I hoid.
That's what you hoid. I think that does it. It's funny because
that does it. That's it.
People have asked us before if they're like, why don't you guys do interviews? You guys should have like Star Trek people on and do interviews. I was like, I don't know. I don't know if it works in the format.
I don't know if they would do it.
I'm not sure.
I bet we could probably get somebody on, but I think we would have to do some twist on it. Like the joke that comes to mind that I always thought would be fun is to do like the Family Guy gag where you have them on but don't talk about Star Trek at all.
That was a Family Guy gag?
Yes, Stewie went to a Star Trek convention with the TNG cast, and all the questions people were asking were like, they had like a rash or they get, you know.
Yeah, I remember that.
I thought that's a good joke.
We could get LeVar Burton and just talk about Reading Rainbow.
Yeah, yeah, we can definitely easily get LeVar Burton. He'll be eager to jump on.
Yeah, and the guy, hey guys, of course. I know you guys.
It couldn't even be Reading Rainbow. It would have to be something completely
something else.
Some woodworking or something like that. I don't know.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I don't know who would get, who would we interview? Like, seriously, who would go on this show?
I bet Tim Russ would come on the show.
Oh yeah,
that would be awesome.
I bet you $1 million if I bet you Tim Russ would just come hang out with us and we could just chat about an episode. Didn't it have to be Voyager?
I think it'd
be
that is not possible.
No, I think it is. I think it's possible and probable. Well, we'll see about that. Anyway, so definitely go check.
What if it doesn't work?
Check out all our friends at Open Pike Night, Unplanned Trek, and so many others. Trekking Up North, Joy of Trek. Let's talk about Treks. there's a million Trek podcasts out there.
Then perhaps there is hope.
And they're also great. It's so wonderful, the environment we get to play around in. Okay, episode time. Oh, yeah, real quick, if you did want to send in a voicemail or email, feedback@itsgotstartrek.com and or itsgotstartrek.com/record. Mm-hmm. Now, Worf.
Yes.
Shut up.
Worf's brother.
Worf's brother.
Worf's brother from an adoptive mother.
Hey.
Hey.
Like, you already have met, by the seventh season, you've already met, like, Worf's adopted parents, right?
Yes.
Like, I forget when that happened exactly, but, like, you meet his mom
early
and dad.
On.
Yeah, it was, like, pretty early.
And there's a couple appearances.
Because then they're, like, they take care of, like, Alexander.
Yes.
So he's not adopted.
Paul Sorvino's character?
Yeah.
No, I bet he's...
Nikolai?
I bet he's fully human, yeah.
Well, no, he's not human, though.
Human. No, he's human.
He had some ridges on his...
He's like,
that's because of the planet they're on.
Oh, that's right. They did, I forgot. Yeah, they did the surgery. No, and that's funny that I forgot that because, like, the whole thing I was noticing about Worf's surgery is that...
He's just wearing a funny hat.
He has a hood.
They did the surgery on his face, but they didn't do the ridges. And so that got me thinking, like... I think that's a pretty realistic, if they did that on purpose, I think that's a pretty realistic way of going about this old plot device being, like, let's give him surgery so they can go down the planet. The fact that they didn't do his ridges, because I would think that the surgery would have to be additive, meaning they could only add parts to your face. Like, they couldn't remove parts.
Okay.
So. And also, like, the ridges, like, once you remove the ridges in surgery, how do you put them back on? And that's probably some, like, Klingon thing about, like, don't remove your ridges or something like that. You know what I mean? So, like, dwarves and their beards, you know?
You've interpreted this a little different than I did. I took it as we're meant to believe they did the full surgery, but because it would look weird or something, they made them all wear these hats. I don't know.
You don't think it was a because of the plot? You think it was because of, like, the makeup department or something? Thought we'd be too weirded out by it or something?
Maybe. Because I know Michael Dorn did not have to have the ridges for a lot of the episode, which was nice for him. It was, I think, one of the first episodes, maybe it's the first episode, that he's, like, out of his makeup for any portion of it.
So wait. I just confirmed this, but I'm not sure that I understood correctly. Yeah, think that this was a decision made outside, like it was a meta decision. It was like not, they just, like they, like they actually, in the story, they actually did remove the ridges. They just didn't show the audience because they'd be too weirded out.
I don't know that that's what I think. I'm saying that's what I had thought. But
I don't know that's what I think.
But because you have presented this alternative scenario, which is also plausible, perhaps even more plausible, that it was just that Beverly was in a hurry and she was like, you know what, just put on, let's just, well, okay, here's what I'm getting at. The whole culture has those hats, so it's like real fucking lucky that they have those hats that they can wear.
I thought
that's why I was thinking the other thing.
I thought it was just because, like, how do you remove, like, how does that surgery remove all the ridges, then how do they put it back? You know what I mean? Like, it just, that seems a little too
implausible.
It's
the future, man.
Yeah, but it seems like they could add, surgically alter, they could, like, add some bumps to your head. Well,
the
Klingons
couldn't
take
had
them
the
away.
Smooth heads forever because the of the Klingon, whole virus. The
Klingons, but that has nothing to do with
maybe squirt the virus back in them.
The Klingons made, like, a Klingon dude. They turned him into a human, and then, like, they...
That's right, Arn Darvin. Remember Arn Darvin?
Well, Arn Darvin and...
It's like
that,
Arn Darvin.
That other guy.
Are you talking about Discovery?
Clem Fandango, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yes, but no. That's right.
No, but they didn't turn him back into a Klingon again.
No, they didn't.
So that's my point, is like once you go...
But there's Arn Darvin, too.
Once you go human, you never go...
They didn't turn him back to... Yeah. Okay. You're yeah.
All right.
Well, I'm glad we're getting
this is like one of the most important philosophical points of the episode.
Once
you leave Klingon, you can't get that thing on.
Okay. I don't know why that makes me feel gross. I'm not saying it's gross. I'm saying it makes me feel a little bit gross.
Makes me feel.
Do you still have two penises?
What?
Are you talking about Worf?
Are you talking about Dan or Worf?
Yeah, Arn Darvin.
I said you. I thought you were talking.
That's a good point, though. Yeah. Do you have to remove a penis when you go undercover as a human?
Right.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go, you create chaos.
I am looking forward to Uni. To some of this sound action here. So Paul Sorvino. We've got Paul Sorvino playing Worf's brother, Nikolai.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, Star Trek is very fond of introducing previously unknown siblings like Cybok and Michael Burnham and George Kirk. Now, I think some of these may have been referenced before being seen, but still, it's
Sam,
kind of funny.
Sam Kirk? Isn't it Sam?
You worry too much, Worf. Sam, you always did.
Oh, yeah. Sam Kirk. George Kirk is the father.
Oh, yeah.
I think isn't it George Samuel Kirk and he goes by Sam, maybe?
I think that's right.
Something like that. All right. So we have this story, this homeward. It's a late TNG story. So all the actors are all like, you know, they're in their groove. They're all chilling. Mm-hmm. Writing, direction, productions. It's pretty on point. However, the seventh season did have this reputation. A lot of these stories were a little off. I think this one is one of those stories because the central premise is that the prime directive for some reason in this context means that these people are just meant to die,
right?
Which I don't buy. I always found that this was a weird setup for the show because I'm not going to say they didn't like have similar vibes in some previous Star Trek prime directive stories, but the prime directive doesn't seem to be like about genocide. And it weirdly puts you on again. I think most of the audience goes against Picard and Worf at the beginning.
No, no. I mean, it's the same principle as like why like a nature photographer isn't going to intervene with two animals fighting. Like you have to let things take its course.
Yeah, but there's a difference between letting a snake eat a fucking fish or something, and I mean,
a lion eat a zebra
versus an extinction. And I think also, while one might argue you shouldn't make any distinction between whatever term you want to use for quote unquote sentient, philosophically thinking cultural life versus animal life, regular old animal life, because they're all animals. I think that's a valid argument. But you could also argue that in this case in particular, like, these are beings that have a culture and something that the culture then also dies, even if they save some of the data about the culture, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm not saying that there's not a discussion there. I think it's just kind of like a weird setup because I think you're stretching it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're stretching it to have Captain Picard be really kind of fucking blasé, where he's like standing on, he's like, all right, let's just watch the atmosphere get stripped away. And he's just like, yeah, that's lame.
But he wouldn't have died alone.
Pretty lame.
And afraid.
Yeah, and when Vorinal killed himself, like they didn't. I mean,
yeah, that just sort of happened.
They just sort of happened. They were like, "Ah, oh, that's too bad."
Like, now we don't have to deal with this.
Yeah, right.
It was like problem solved.
Yeah, well,
sucks.
I mean, when Vorin,
problem solved.
When Vorin,
yeah, we don't have to train him.
Yeah, when Vorin wanted to go back, Picard was all like,
"I see."
Like he didn't want him to go back, and fucking Nikolai didn't want him to go back either. Both of them were just like, "Ah, we can't let him go back. They're fuck this Vorin guy."
Yeah.
There was the scene. Nikolai.
By the way, you said fuck this Vorin guy, not fuck this foreign guy.
Oh, no. Thank you.
You're not a xenophobe.
Yeah, this is not one of the xenophobic podcasts.
That's not what I said.
It's not one of
thank
them.
You. Thank you.
I didn't realize until just now the potential issue.
This is not the National Star Trek podcast.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for that clarification.
That boring guy was real dumb.
He
had a funny hat on.
When Nikolai, they're talking about the Prime Directive, and he goes, they have a chance to survive, and isn't that what the Prime... Where was it? Captain, the Borons of a rich and beautiful culture, deep spiritual life, they deserve the chance to survive, and isn't that what the Prime Directive was truly intended to do, to allow cultures to survive and grow naturally? To which Troy says, not entirely, the Prime Directive was designed to ensure non-interference. Now, you could take that response from Troy wasn't exactly helpful because that's like, yeah, you could, that's
non-interference for the purpose
of.
Yeah,
exactly. It's a literal translation, but he was interpreting her translation and she just kind of like reduced it.
I think they have a weak argument on their side, and the writers are not able to articulate it. I'm not saying a good argument doesn't exist, but it's not well articulated in this episode, because right at the beginning, it all seems very confusing and non-Star Trek, because guess what? Even if it is the Prime Directive, guess what Star Trek is about half the time? Saying that the Prime Directive is wrong, right, and we're going to do this shit anyway.
Bending the rules, breaking the rules.
Well,
it's peculiar. Time travel. It's a peculiar setup to immediately be like, man, Picard is being kind of a piece of shit. Yeah.
And then, Crusher was on, Nicholas's side. Yeah. She, you know, says, like, if we take no action, it's a conscious decision to let them die.
Yes.
And did you notice it seemed to me like Beverly was kind of into Nikolai in this episode, because at the beginning she was talking to
elaborate.
She was talking to Worf at the beginning about Nikolai.
He sounded interesting.
And Worf was all talking about him. And then she was like, I'm looking forward to meeting this guy. And then later on,
see what this guy's
later on,
about.
She took his side, you know? So I think like she had an attraction to Nikolai, sort of like,
or she took, well, yes, maybe she took his side. She maybe partly was attracted to him because they were on the same side.
Well, she was attracted
philosophically.
She was attracted to him before she even met him.
So she didn't give a shit.
Maybe she's a rebel.
No, she liked. Well, I think philosophically, in a sense, you could say that's true.
It's like a bonus.
Because the way Worf described him, Worf was like, you know, he does what he, you know, he's a what was the words?
He's a natural leader.
I'm sure you've got.
Yeah, he was a natural leader.
Yeah.
So okay, here it goes. Nikolai has a mind of his own. He attended Starfleet Academy, but he was unable to follow the rules. He left after 1 year, but he has many fine qualities. He's brilliant, persuasive, a natural leader. And she goes, sounds intriguing. I look forward to meeting him. So in a sense, yes, philosophically she agreed with him, because she heard like about his sort of like maverick attitude, and she was into it. And then when he was talking later, she was even more attracted to him, I think. So
but what you're not saying is that she changed her opinion because she liked him.
No, I don't think so. Okay. That's what you are saying.
No, I'm not saying that. I wanted to clarify that you weren't saying. I didn't think you were saying that. No. And I just want to put that out there.
No.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, I wanted to, one more thing about the Worf's.
One more thing. This guy is the Star Trek equivalent of Columbo.
Hey, you.
One more thing.
Hey, you.
Shatner was on Columbo twice. Nimoy was on Columbo once.
Shatner was on Twilight Zone really twice.
Shatner was T.J. Hooker.
Shatner was on Rescue 911.
He was on that mystery story about mysteries, wasn't he?
Shatner wrote the tech war.
Shatner was
novels.
On a spaceship.
I never read those tech war books.
I read the first couple. I mean, he co-wrote, you know, he had like ghostwriter person helping them. They were, you know, some fairly straightforward sci-fi business.
So Worf introduced himself as the Traveler. I think he would have been more...
I am a traveler.
He would have been better off, like, had he introduced himself as Nikolai's brother. Because that's what happened anyway. It's like, Worf's just like, oh, I'm a traveler. And then it just so happens Nikolai's like, hey, there's my brother.
But
like,
I don't think
he was... He knew that
Nikolai. I don't think Nikolai had walked in yet.
Because he was surprised that Nikolai had, in fact, you know, intermingled with these. He's supposed to be just observing them from a distance.
If I was one of the Borallans, I would be like, wait a second. This guy's introducing himself as a traveler. He's not mentioning the fact that he's burying the lead. He's not mentioning the fact that he's a fucking
a moon man.
He didn't mention the
he's
fact
a moon man.
He didn't mention the fact that that he's Nikolai's brother. You see what I'm saying? Like he led with the wrong thing. It's called that's what burying
I know,
the lead
I think
is.
What Jesse and I are saying, we don't think he even like what like,
Nikolai hadn't popped up yet.
No. Like Jesse noted, he didn't expect that Nikolai had interacted with these people.
Okay.
Nikolai was supposed to be doing a Who Watches the Watchers type thing where he's like in the lab.
Yeah, but that doesn't change.
Watching them.
But that doesn't change the fact that I would think that as a Borallan, I would be sketched out by that. The fact that he didn't mention that he was Nikolai's brother. I know what you're saying. You're saying
he didn't Worf, know.
No,
that
I know
he was
you're saying.
There.
I know you're
a
saying.
Borallan
he,
might be sketched
but
out.
But I'm
saying
you're a complicated
whether
man,
or
Dan.
Not whether or not Worf knew that. I'm saying as a Borallan, I would take note of that. Even if he didn't know, like whether Worf knew or not is irrelevant to the fact that if I were Borallan, I'd be like, wait a minute, why didn't he
What's
tell
up
why
with
didn't
this
he, why
guy?
Why he just so happens to be his brother?
He's a like, traveler would, from long away.
So I would think that like, you know,
what about the storms?
That would be oh, and the ridges. So it's hard to tell if Worf's non-Klingon face is like the normal face of Michael Dorn makes when he's like got Klingon face. Or if, like, he's making different faces because of the subject matter of the episode.
Because he's an actor.
No, you're missing my point.
I have missed your point.
No, I think I get what
okay,
you're
saying. Okay, no, so It looked like Worf was making different facial expressions. For once,
than he normally makes.
Now, one gotcha. Number one. This is
number one.
At the end, he actually smiles for like the only time you ever see Worf smile was in that. But also, like when he's eating those nuts or whatever, there's a scene he's got a bowl and he's eating some thing, like a bar, and he's and he's all like he's.
So for the audience at home, Dan is miming eating a
bowl of nuts.
And not just any bowl. It looks like an alien.
Looks like cashews.
It's like a heavy clay bowl. Filled with alien nuts.
When he ate it, he was like making like human faces. Yeah. And then at the end, he all like rubs his fingers together, like in a way that Worf wouldn't have rubbed his fingers together. And he's making all these facial expressions that Worf wouldn't make. And I can't tell.
Interesting. I didn't catch any.
And I can't tell if that's because the makeup is gone. It made that like he always makes those faces. It's just the fact that the makeup wasn't there. So I noticed it more. Or if because Michael Dorn didn't have Worf face on, he suddenly like changed his facial expressions subconsciously or something.
I wouldn't.
He seemed more human.
I would not be surprised
he
by
seemed
that
more human.
People do talk about, you know, when you get into the costume, and I'm sure it's doubly so when you get into the makeup as an actor, that it helps you take on the role. You know, sometimes it can be difficult to do that without the costume.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the case.
But he seemed more human to me.
Or he's just really good at being undercover.
Well, actually, he seemed more Borallan to me, but then more Borallan than Klingon, not in just looks, but in mannerisms.
More Borallan.
Borallan. More Borallan.
Borallan.
It'd have gawk fingers.
Borallian. All right. Yes. Churning atmosphere.
Oh, right. I like those churning atmosphere. So, at the end, I like how it just kind of dissolved at the end. It was like,
now. The caveat being that I would just preface this with saying the physics of all this are left wildly unexplained.
I think that's true for a lot of Star Trek, though.
Yeah, it is.
Especially
when it comes to like degrading orbits and things like how long.
Degrading people.
Degrading orbits and how like long it takes for a star to go supernova. Yeah. Like we had that question last week, how it's just like they were 3 hours away from a fucking nova and like they're just chilling by this star, you know? It seems like that's too close. You don't want to be within a nova star within like a year, probably. You probably just stay out of that shit. Because 3 hours, that's nothing when you're talking about something like a nova.
Right.
And then sometimes the orbits are like, the orbit will decay in 3 hours. It's like, no, the orbits don't decay in 3 hours. If you're in a starship, you can like make that shit go in a long time. That's how we have satellites.
Well, so that's the thing it's a MacGuffin. It's like, okay, here we...
What a bunch of bozos.
Here's the constraint. This is the constraint we're putting on this story. We're creating challenges. We're creating barriers that will generate drama and move the story forward. I get that.
Barrier.
I'm not even complaining about that.
Barrier.
What I'm saying is Cranberry. This episode has a lot of those. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of those because one of them is... You can't get discovered because these people will like get all weird if they learn that they're like aliens among them. Okay, that's MacGuffin number one. MacGuffin number two is there's the atmosphere is just evaporating for some reason.
it's
just crazy.
I love
for
this idea.
Reason.
It was just crazy. Yeah, it was. It's actually a thing. It's called atmospheric dissipation.
Yeah, that's caused by plasmonic bullshit.
Atmospheric dissipation. Yeah. All that means is the atmosphere goes away.
Okay, now there's
atmospheric dissipation is a rare and essentially unpredictable event.
Atmospheric dissipation.
Is that convenient?
Could not be stopped.
No shit.
Is that convenient
atmospheric
for the story?
Dissipation has accelerated over the past several hours
and make it look like interference from the plasmonic bursts.
You never
dissipation
heard about
effect
it.
Is generating plasmonic energy
you didn't
bursts.
Know it was gonna
intense
happen.
Plasmonic reactions are destroying it. Plasmonic reactions are now beginning to break down the troposphere.
Plasmonic energy bursts from the planet are affecting the ship's systems.
It appears the plasmonic reactions are continuing to interfere with our sensors. Atmospheric dissipation.
Oh my god, the plasmonic stuff's fantastic. But see that then that's another constraint. It's like, okay, the place is evaporating, so that has to push the time period forward. Then it's like, okay, we beam these people up and they're in the holodeck, but the holodeck, because of the plasmonic reaction, the holodeck is getting floopy, so that's another
the
thing.
Plasmonic
that's another thing they have to deal with. The holodeck is going to fucking collapse, and they have to beam them out before the holodeck collapses, and then they got to find a planet that's not in the middle of some fucking war zone or whatever.
Did they combine all the holodeck units into one?
holograms?
Not that I noticed.
Or is it just one holodeck?
I don't recall them specifying which holodeck. Normally they're like holodeck 3 or holodeck 2 or whatever.
That sucks. So the holodeck wasn't going bad because he was overloading it. It was just because there was the plasmonic interference. Plasmonic interference. Well,
holodecks take a lot of shit.
And I wasn't clear. Also, at the end when they zapped away from the planet to their homeworld, they did it because Worf was all like
lightning and thunder. Lightning and thunder.
Form of Gokhand.
Most
of the people don't know about the Gokhand.
Oh. And Jordy,
for the Patreon.
Did you notice Jordy seemed all super excited about making lightning and thunder?
Yes, I have it right here in my notes. Yes. Jordy is super into making a storm.
he was
all grinning. He was
I think I can do that.
Well, not only did he did the grinning face, but he also did that thing where where he slows, he's all like tapping fingers, and then once Data's make a storm, he all slows it down. Is like I'm gonna fucking finesse.
Right,
like, finesse Jordy.
He's like, now we're talking.
It's your time to shine. So now and during the storm, they zoop the people over to the planet, right? Yeah. So without them, they zooped them over.
Zoop.
Now, how are they planning to get them to the planet if there wasn't a storm? Were they just going to drug them or wait till they go to sleep or something?
That's what I'm getting at. Is there's
this knock them over the head.
This is a story. It's got a lot of interesting stuff in it, but it does have these. It's kind of a hat on a hat on a hat on a hat. It's like here are these series. It's like a series of video game challenges.
I've got
a hat. Need to be overcome.
The plasmonic situation, like you said, it was like a MacGuffin affected many facets of the episode.
Okay, it's time to take a break. So we're gonna take a quick. We're going to take it.
Well, I refuse to be bound by an abstraction.
Very fair point.
That's hard hitting.
Again, they start this episode off being like, fuck these Enterprise people. Yeah. this guy's awesome. Mm. It's Paul Sorvino. Anyway, we'll take a break, and when we get back, we will continue our discussion of Star Trek TNG's Homeward.
We'll return shortly.
Be right back.
You gotta give some warning first.
All right, we're back. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi.
Yes.
Hi, everyone.
Yes.
You have returned.
Scott
Star Trek podcast.
Right, so we were talking about how they were planning to zip them over to the planet had there not been
You said zoop before.
Zoop. So had there not been holodeck.
Now it's a zip.
Had there not been holodeck problems due to the plasmonic interference, they would not have been able to cast Storm to zap them over without them knowing about it. So if there was no interference and they couldn't make the storm to hide the fact that they were zapping them, how were they planning to zap them? I think they were going to wait till they were sleeping.
Well, okay. We do have to think about this because it's all absurd. All of this is absurd.
I like how he's walk through, just keep walking, slowly change the terrain to make it. That was kind of clever.
It was not just kind of clever. It was very clever. But here's why this story gets confusing. Because, again, in order to make the story work, first, they push the meaning of the Prime Directive beyond what seems morally permissible, at least arguably, and they have Picard and Worf and others treat that as obvious, as fucking obvious that you're just supposed to genocide the people. Let them die, whatever the equivalent is. So that's already pushing it.
I'm gonna
right?
genocide you, Jesse.
We have our
then they have Paul Sorvino do all this scheming and trickery, but luckily Worf called him brilliant. So that we can assume he has these skills. So he does all this schemery to beam these people up and make a holographic exact replica of their tunnel that they were in. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, stretching plausibility, but okay. Then the question is when he initially encountered Picard, why didn't he give Picard this idea? Why didn't he say why don't we try this idea? At least give Picard the opportunity to be I've heard this idea, and then maybe yes, maybe no. Because you know what? Picard sure immediately took to the idea when it was offered to him, and granted, yes, he had no choice. What was he going to do, beam the people into fucking space? I mean, I don't know. But you know what I'm saying?
So wait, you're saying that he should have talked to Picard beamed him up?
Yes, I'm saying the order of events was Nikolai gets
Roshenko
beamed to the Enterprise. And he talks with Picard saying, here's the motherfucking deal. We got to save these people. Mm-hmm. Picard's like, no, we don't. Because the Prime Directive says no. And then Paul Sorvino could have been at that stage saying like, well, I got this idea. I've been working on this. Mm-hmm. Clearly, I've already been working on this because otherwise this is not possible. I have a replica, a hologram program to replicate.
That is not possible.
The caves. And then we can transplant them to this other planet by modifying the caves a little bit along the way. Okay.
Yeah, but
and then I'm just saying it's weird that he didn't at least try that idea with Picard before doing, because he still could have done it.
I mean,
Picard could have said no, and he still could have done it.
Yeah, I guess you're saying? Right.
Like, he still had the capacity to just do it anyway and be like, okay, fuck
you. But maybe he didn't want to tip his hand. I don't know. You know, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Maybe, but I think that's it's the beginning of the story, and then there are a series of similar things that you have to buy a lot.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
And it's not all 100% consistent. Again, it's not a big deal. It's still an enjoyable episode. It's got some enjoyable, interesting ideas. But yeah, it's just weird that the question is kind of centering around, like, breaking the rules or not breaking the rules,
and to uphold the Prime Directive.
Yeah, rather than going in an alternative.
Should have had Barclay.
I'm not ashamed of what I did. I'm not sorry I saved their lives.
I was thinking, like, while the holodeck was having problems, couldn't holodeck. And Geordi said that the only way that they could fix it is by shutting it down for a while. Yes. They could have, like, give him some sleeping gas. Couldn't they have done that? Put him under with sleeping gas?
Oh, I totally forgot, because that's what you were getting to that, because one of the things that jumped in my mind about one of the things you have to buy in this story is Worf is like, what did you do? And then he's like, oh, I just beamed them up while they were sleeping. They weren't sleeping when we left, which didn't seem that long ago. Mm-hmm. But like, I'm going to assume that every single person is asleep at the same time, and assume that the process of being beamed does not wake you up as your molecules are being torn apart and recreated.
And I'm surprised he had the security clearance to even be able to do such a thing.
Yeah, that,
and
also, that's just typical TNG. Anyone can go anywhere.
It's the Enterprise.
But then, walk right on the fucking bridge.
But then he was able to lock Worf out of the lock people out.
That's pretty amazing.
But there was one.
How'd you do that?
Okay, there was.
He's a smart dude.
But there was a...
He's brilliant.
Okay, so... But then this doesn't make sense to me. So Worf is like, computer, open the holodeck 5. Computer says, unable to comply. Holodeck 5 is in use. Worf said, override authorization.
Oh, they did say holodeck 5?
Oh.
Did it say 5?
Yes.
Why? That's... because before I thought they didn't say which.
We didn't hear it.
And holodeck 5 is interesting. I wonder why they picked 5. They usually pick 3.
What?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your thought.
No, I mean, is this an infinite... You're talking about it as if it's something that matters? Like,
well, before we had stated that we didn't know
they hadn't stated it, and then not only did they state it, they stated it as number 5, which is just weird, because they never go to holodeck 5. Yeah. It's usually 3. Except when it's 2.
You're thinking of Transporter Room 3 for O'Brien's favorite.
It's Holodeck 3 and Transporter Room 3. Because in stories...
It's the rule of threes.
Everyone likes fucking threes for some reason in writing. And in aggregate, like, you put a 7 in there and everyone gets all... They fucking jump down your throat.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They call you a witch.
What is this?
Worf tries to get in. It says, unable to comply because it's in use. And Worf is like, override authorization Worf Theta 619. Then the computer says, unable to comply. Holodeck control systems have been bypassed. I don't understand that sentence. At first, the computer was saying, you're unable to override. That's what the computer was first saying. But then it said, control systems have been bypassed. So at first it refused Worf, but then it ultimately let him in anyways. There's something very obvious that I think I'm missing there. But like Worf was trying to get in, it blocked his way, but then it let him in for some reason. And I don't understand like how that happened.
I chalk it up to...
Because he tried to override it and the computer was like, no, you can't override. Well, but then it did.
This is a security officer.
It seems like such a simple thing that I must not be getting about.
No. I agree with you, Dan. And I think what it is that this is 7th season Star Trek The Next Generation.
Sub Rosa is the next episode.
Sub Rosa is the next episode. In the 7th season, there's some amazing stuff. All Good Things is amazing. In fact, I think there's lots of great episodes, but they do...
Some we've talked about.
Yes. They do
this
have...
This is the one where they de-evolve into spiders, right?
Yes. Some of the episodes have a little bit of wonkiness to them, and I think part of that is a function of being on so long that they're using tropes, Star Trek so tropes. They've built up so many, not just Star Trek tropes, but TNG tropes, that they can use it as shorthand. And in this shorthand is like, okay, this guy's just going to go do some computer shit and magically make this shit happen. So now we can make you think about the morality of transplanting these people and tricking them.
I've heard reference before, and I really think it was called like Homerification or so. I think they actually use that.
Flanderization.
Okay. Yeah, where the concept that over many seasons, a character's traits get so embellished and caricaturized that they're just like amplified. All their particular quirks are amplified to the max.
Yeah.
Whereas the beginning, they seem like normal people. Now they just seem like these weird alien creatures. And so shows tend to do that over time. Now, this wouldn't be with characters. This would be with plot style. Yes. Plot styles. They're kind of like using shorthand so much that it becomes amplified because they just keep grabbing like the quickest, easiest, most obvious aspects of that plot.
Right on, dude.
Yeah.
I wanted to let you land on the runway there.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
You have disgraced yourself.
One way to think of this is what is an alternate direction they could have gone, right? They could have done something, the same plot, but done something slightly different, because I think part of the flaw in this episode is they don't really firmly discuss what they're talking about, right? Is it about the morality of letting these people die or transporting them? I don't know, because as soon as they're on board, Picard seems completely in favor of this plan and hopes it works. Worf even is like, yeah, at the end, he's like, yeah, this is great. You did a great job. Everything's great. Oh, yeah. So, like, what are they, like, are they telling us what we all thought at the beginning? Like, I just don't understand what they're telling
us. Right. Like, they're just not going to tell Starfleet. Like, let's just not tell Starfleet.
I think what happened, that's another issue, is like, Nikolai, isn't he bound by some rules of Starfleet in this? Why didn't he get, like, court-martialed for all this?
Well, he's not in Starfleet. He's like a scientist.
Yeah, but
he's in some kind of federation.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe
some sort of jurisdiction.
Yeah, court-martialed may be the wrong word, but the fact is he was on a federation ship that's supposed to follow the rules
of
the Prime
Directive. He knocked up a local that he wasn't supposed to get in touch with.
He's going to get fired.
He broke the rules of the ship he was assigned to. I would say that's more than just getting fired. That's like that's like security in cosmic security.
Cosmic security. Quick call cosmic security. How about this? Here's an alternative scenario, which is a very similar plot, but it's a little bit.
I did have a response to what you were saying about Picard and Nikolai at the end. Picard in the middle, Nikolai at the end. I took it as Nikolai and Worf. They were both saying, "No, you're okay. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry." They were doing that thing at the end. So I think when Worf was saying, "You're a good guy, Nikolai," Nikolai was like, "No, you're a good guy." I think they were just making up his brother.
I agree. I'm just pointing out that at the beginning of the episode, we are presented that it is the obvious choice to let these people die.
Yeah.
Right? As soon as they're on the ship, I mean, there's no, like, Picard is not like, oh man, now we have to think about what to do with these people. He's like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll do your plan. I immediately go with it. And at the end, yeah, Worf is making up with his brother, but he also seems to sincerely be like, yeah, it's good that these people survived.
Which
is suggesting, okay, now it's good to break the rules from once in a while. For Worf, it's good character development to sort of move away from like the rigid, always following the rules thing. But beyond that,
Klingons have ridges. Rigid bridges.
Well, yeah.
The Picard thing you were saying, how Picard
ruffles everything.
Picard just goes along with his plan. At first, Picard was like fucking pissed. He was like doing the Picard version of yelling at him. And I think what happened is it's just like, because Picard's not going to hold a grudge, he's going to look at the most logical
situation.
No, wait, he's going to look at the most logical way of approaching a situation he can. And at that point, he was like, he's established, he's like, well, I'm fucking pissed at this Nikolai guy. Yeah. The problem is here. I can't change it. Me yelling at Moore is not going to do anything. We have to do something and work with what we have now.
I guess
you got to get those people off the ship.
And so,
and the plan is to get these people off the fucking ship. So,
and that's why Picard is like better than Nikolai in this sense, because like Nikolai acts based upon emotions and not for the greater good. Nikolai doesn't act for the greater good, and Picard is just simply trying to approach everything logically as it appears to him in that moment.
Yes, okay, but that's what I'm getting at, is that they never, the episode does not actually interrogate the idea of Picard's original position, which is that it is morally correct to let these people die.
And I mean, how much time did you want them to spend on like,
I'm saying that's what the episode presents itself as discussing that idea, and then it abandons it, and everyone's just going along with the idea of, now we got to watch out for the fucking plasmonic disruptions to stop fucking with the holodeck. Now it's a race against time to find the planet.
You think it should have approached the question of the Prime Directive.
It doesn't discuss anything. Episode discusses nothing.
So yeah, you're saying it should discuss that principle, that the idea of when is the Prime Directive should be broken.
And in part, I'm arguing that because they present a particularly almost fascistic version of the Prime Directive, where it's like, this is the you don't help anybody. And I'm not saying that there's not an argument to be made for it. I'm saying this episode did not bother to even attempt to make the argument.
So were you
Picard and Troy simply declare it to be the case? You pointed out that Troy's response was essentially nonsensical. It was not an argument in favor of the position. And so this episode is kind of framed as being that, and then it abandons that, and it's still a fun, enjoyable, interesting episode, but now it's a video game where it's like, are they going to beat the technical issues they're facing and to save these people without them becoming psychologically damaged?
Is this when you were talking about a direction you think the episode should have gone? Is that what you're trying to say? They should have gone more in the direction?
Saying there's other things they could have done, I think, with the same plot. One thing that came to mind was, how about this? How about under the same scenario, what was the term for the atmosphere evaporating crazy randomly?
Atmospheric dissipation.
Atmospheric dissipation.
Atmospheric dissipation.
Okay, so atmospheric.
It's a condition where the atmosphere goes away.
The atmospheric dissipation.
It just goes away one day.
And it's going to cause all this plasmonic nonsense.
It's unpredictable.
It's very rare.
It's rare as it's unpredictable.
All this plasmonic nonsense is going to happen, but here's the setup. The setup is the same. There's these people. There's Paul Sorvino, who's, you know, Nikolai has been watching them. The storm is about to happen. How about this? The setup is everyone agrees in with the plan to move them by holodeck. Picard, everybody, they come up with that plan. They're like, that's what we got to do. And what we've got to do is we got to trick them with the holodeck. So we send, you know, Paul Sorvino goes down there or whatever. And here's the twist. The twist is they offer them this way to do it that's not going to reveal that there's alien intervention. But the people say no for religious or spiritual or cultural reasons. They're like, no, we don't want to move. We'll just stay here and die. And then the question becomes, then Paul Sorvino just does it against their will. Mm. And then that's that interesting question of, now you're asking and interrogating the idea, is it okay to save somebody's life against their will, or a community or culture's life against its will, if it does not want to move from its ancestral place?
But
right?
They only saved one village. All the other villages die.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing that they kind of downplay. Yeah. It's a giant planet.
Yeah.
Presumably.
That's how the minimum carrying population
has to be 100.
That's how every sci-fi story, like sci-fi story, approaches planets. Planets are just like one type of thing that lives
right,
all over
yeah,
there.
Right.
And they all have the exact same political philosophy.
Yeah, right.
Otherwise, your mind would explode.
That is correct.
I'm sure there's lots of other directions you could go to, and I'm not critiquing professional writers who actually know what the fuck they're doing under, and they're working under pressure. But yeah, this story is like all this confusing stuff that's piles up on itself.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it'd be more coherent if they had picked kind of a specific thing and sort of wrestled with that the whole time.
I do not know.
The lives of the people of Boral are far more important to me.
Far more important to me. Oh, there was a Geordi line that was good too.
The simulation could fall apart any minute.
I don't know why I like that delivery.
play it again. That's good.
The simulation could fall apart any minute.
I don't know. And watching
it was
him,
a good rhythm
it
to
was
it.
Good. It was a great.
Because they had like it was
like any minute.
Yeah. And what was the Worf, the impossible thing?
But he wouldn't have died alone.
Sorry, that wasn't that. <Fred. laughs>
That is not possible.
Yeah,
I'm in love with that.
This
one's charming.
This one.
It could be a deflector shield. It could be a deflector shield.
Oh, and then he did a.
I bet Michael Dorn would hang out on our podcast.
Oh,
yeah, pretty rad.
We should try.
There was another line that this was actually, I think, the same word in another episode we watched recently. It was where there was a strange emphasis.
Life forms within the structure. I am reading no life forms within the structure.
I swear there was another episode we did recently.
Life forms, not life forms.
Do you say Taco Bell or Taco Bell?
I say Taco Bell.
I don't.
How about Dan?
I don't go there.
Dan, How about this? I'm going to close my eyes.
I go to Wendy's.
I'm going to say it, and then you tell me.
That's not the spirit of the question,
I don't
Jesse.
Go to Taco Bell.
That's not what I'm saying. Like, what would you say if you had to say that? You know what I'm getting
what
at.
What would you say?
Taco Bell.
Okay. What were you closing your eyes about, Patrick? Jesse freaked me out.
I'm gonna close my eyes. I'm going to say. Oh, yeah, I'm going to say the term, and then you tell me how I'm pronouncing it, because I, you know, it's the self. You can't just judge the tickling yourself business, you know, and hearing yourself in the head. You know what I'm saying, right?
Taco Bell.
I'm going to go pick me up some chalupas at Taco Bell.
Yeah, Taco Bell.
Taco Bell. Did I say it like that?
Wait, say it again.
I'm going to pick me up some chalupas and a Dorito Crunch taco at Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
I say it more like Taco Bell, but it's the same style. The point is, you don't say Taco Bell. You don't put the emphasis on the bell.
Do people do that?
Yeah, someone I knew.
I think I would lean more towards the bell.
See, someone I knew once that I don't know anymore insisted that it was Taco
Bell. Shall remain nameless.
It was insisted.
We don't know them anymore. Did you kill this person?
No.
What happened to this person?
It doesn't matter.
I don't know them
anymore.
Doesn't
matter. Do we know this person? Is this a person that we know?
No, you don't know this person.
This is a secret person.
This is a bloke that you didn't know.
This is a secret person.
One of Dan's secret government missions where you assassinate.
Anyways.
Is it somebody from the government?
This person.
Someone I used to know.
Somebody from another state.
No.
That you used to live that's different from this state.
Jesse's always really interested in sort of interstate business.
Which will not be named.
Everywhere you go, you create chaos. Everywhere you go, you create chaos. Everywhere you go, you create chaos. Everywhere you go, you create chaos.
Vaca 6.
Anyway, the person said, insisted that it was Taco Bell. Not only that, but this person would also like give you a hard time about it if you said Taco Bell.
No.
That's so unfortunate. They were very like,
it's a good thing
they
had a strong know this person
they
had a, is
I might
they,
be able
they,
to guess who
they had
person.
A strong no you don't know him this oh, they had a strong okay. belief that it was Taco Bell they oh. had, they were really all for that you all know right. very adamant about
adamant.
It. Yeah, so anyways, why are we saying that? Oh, yeah, we were saying that because...
life forms now, within the structure.
There was another episode we did recently where another character said life form.
But you didn't root through your last 100
I guess I could have,
sounds you
I,
have?
Wait, maybe it's in there.
I don't know how you organize your sound. I know you described it to us once there's like colors and all sorts of nonsense, some sort of synesthesia business.
I've seen the colors.
Wait, is it this one? I don't think it's this one.
Life form.
No, it's not that one. I don't. I might not have the
classic
sound.
Janeway.
That would be weird of me not to have.
By
the
way,
sound.
Audience, I'm in the process of trying to convince Dan to do like a sound like a sound clip of the week where it's like so you guess the sound clip where he just plays like a some sort of obscure sound clip, just some from any Star Trek with no clues.
Would you rather spend the rest of your life in prison?
Could you guess that one?
Yeah. No, that's Mayweather.
Yeah.
In Enterprise. Yeah. Is that the one with the We're Dangerous?
Which episode was the We're Dangerous in?
It was the the one with the what's his name?
We're Dangerous.
Oh, that was the one where they went to the
detained.
Detained. Was that
detained? That was a good episode. That was a good podcast.
It was, yes.
What was Mayweather was said.
You may begin our descent.
No, that's.
Aren't you looking for somebody who said life forms?
I was.
There's some sort of point you're making, which I think you've already made, but you're trying to further support it with the sound effect.
No, you were asking where that Mayweather clip came from. I mean, I don't think it came from that episode.
That was not my primary.
Okay, maybe it wasn't life forms because I can't find it anywhere. But there was something. There was some kind
of life forms.
There was some.
We're life forms.
There was some kind of weird emphasis going on, and I've got to find it one of these days.
Got to
one of these days. I have got to find this thing.
One of these days. Anyway, look out for the future. I'm gonna see if I can convince Dan to just have a random sound clip, and then the audience has to guess.
I did it. I already did it with the Mayweather just now.
Do it again.
Thank you.
I thought he was going to play the exact same clip. Well, I was in my mind, in my thinking, Dan, because that's Q from Death Wish. So in my mind, I was thinking you would pick a sound clip that was much more obscure and maybe that we hadn't just done last week.
Well, yeah, I'm working on it.
No. It's not intended for this week. I'm saying, like, that's something in the... And you could even go record, like, a new one. Like, go to Star Trek 5 or something and just record, like, a one-second clip. I think that would be fun, right? And then the audience can email in, and whoever, like, guesses it first, I don't know.
Gets, I swear it was a life form.
It's a prize. Maybe not a prize. Maybe we're just like, good job, dude. Rad. Good job.
Rad.
Good job, man.
On the rad.
Good job, yo. Good job. Good job.
Well, apparently it's not. See, these are the only life forms I have.
Life form.
Life forms. Life form.
And that's just Janeway saying it correctly.
Yeah. Life forms. You lovely little life forms.
Life forms within the structure.
No. Okay, I gotta drop it because I'm gonna drive myself crazy. I'm gonna figure this out though, but not this episode because I'm driving myself crazy.
This podcast is grinding to a halt.
Yeah, I know.
I think it's great. I like all the life form.
So yeah,
I was gonna talk about the Beverly and Data thing because I was very charmed by them.
Oh yeah,
hunting for planets. Right. It was all extras. Extra. Look, when you turn on this episode, you immediately get that warm TNG feeling. You're like, oh, I'm all rubbing my belly. I'm like, oh, this is it's TNG. This scene with Data and Crusher researching the different planets as well as sort of discussing what this means. And I think it's one of the most interesting parts of the episode where Crusher
is a formidable responsibility.
Crusher's all like, yeah, I mean, like, depending on the weather, we're going to totally like send their culture in some crazy ass direction. So they're changing no matter what.
Yeah.
But then of course that doesn't support the argument. They're like, well, they're better off dead. They're better off dead than having like slightly different tapestries. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's not obvious. I think I fall on the side of like, maybe I'm fine with being alive.
And to uphold the Prime Directive.
You're supposed to uphold the Prime Directive, Patrick.
Yeah. If I don't know. But because part of it is like, I don't know. I think part of what makes me uncomfortable is that there's a sort of a deceit aspect to it because you're like an alien. You're like, okay. Like, just like, let's just say, you know, you're like this fella, Vorin, who figures this out, and you're like, wait a second, you could have just saved us the whole time and you guys are up here arguing about that shit? Are you for real?
I know.
Like, guess what? 60% chance, just assume there's a 60% chance I'm going to say, like, we want to live.
But you know they can't tell them because, like, they're not allowed, because of the same reason, Prime Directive.
I get it, and I agree with that part, right? I agree with the idea that the effort should be made to make sure that these people are have the least amount of impact, right? But the Prime Directive is always complicated anyway. It's a good philosophy and principle, but when it gets down to the brass tacks, it gets complicated because what happens when there's an accidental thing, right? Like in Who Watches the Watchers, it's like, well, what do you do then? Like all the rules start flying out the window because it's like, okay, what's happening now? Now you're trying to unwind shit. Now that's not happening here yet because they have this pretty clever plan. And that's, I think, one of the strongest parts of the episode.
Yeah, I like how they have the two planets. Like, well, this one is like, you know, really nice, but you know the Romulans, they're always like doing military,
fucking around and
always
shit.
Doing the military exercises in the neutral zone.
What kind of hilarious, you transfer these people, they get settled, and then just fucking like goddamn Romulans show up.
Fuck their shit up. But then they took them a planet which they said was less hospitable. It was a very green planet. I don't know what made it so green.
It was pretty green.
But it didn't look very inhospitable when we saw it at the end.
Maybe
it looked
just like warmer.
It looked really nice.
Yeah, it looked kind of rad.
Yeah.
Maybe it was slightly more arid. I don't know. There's lots of plants.
Maybe it's a little more.
Yeah. You worry too much, Worf. You always did.
I particularly...
The planet was Vaca 6 in the Cabrela sector, correct?
I know it was Vaca 6. I don't know where it was.
That made me think of cows. Vacas makes me think of cows.
Yes, it is located in the Cabral sector.
That makes me think of goats, capras.
Mm-hmm. I like how...
That's goats, right, Jesse? Isn't capras goats? I think capras means goats.
I think, here's what supports my... People wouldn't know that because they didn't have the Patreon. I was going to say, summarize is why I'd want Data to stroke my head while I'm dying.
See, that's a good preview. That's a good preview for the Patreon.
Yeah. Nice tie-in.
You want to summarize why you would like to have Data stroke your head while you're dying.
And this point, the point he gave to Beverly, because he gave a very sort of comforting, but logical and solid, and almost comforting in how based in logic it was, where she was overwhelmed by the responsibility of deciding the fate of the Borallans, and Data just goes, Doctor, I do not believe we can offer any guarantees. We can simply make the best choice we have at the moment. Right. Now that's like nothing. No, out of the ordinary.
There's a lot of subjectivity to that. Best choice at the moment. That's the.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. But like.
No. It's just. I mean. I think that's interesting. It's a nuanced response because, as opposed to like some bullshit.
Well, like because. Like, if it was just a human saying that, it's like, oh, you're just saying some kind of cliche because, like, that's going to make me feel better, right? But when Data says it, he actually means it. He doesn't mean it for anything other than to be like, this is logical. And so that's why I would like to have Data stroke my head when I'm dying, because that lack of emotion and pure sense of logic would I find comforting as I'm dying, because I don't want to think about everyone crying and being sad.
He's not going to tell you some trite bullshit.
And yeah, he doesn't, so not some trite bullshit, and I don't want too many emotions thrown into it, distracting me from the reality of it, which is I'm dying, Data stroking my head. It's comforting and logical. Yeah. I don't have to think about like the infinity of death. All I think about is like Data being like, yo, so you are expiring now or whatever. And just like this one,
yes. It make a good case.
What Data said was trite, because it was Data saying that, I felt you could take it for its pure logical.
I didn't find it trite myself.
No, okay, let me reword that. Not trite, but something like like what I said earlier, it's the kind of statement we can simply make the best choice we have at the moment. That's if a person said that, it would sound kind of like, well, you're just saying that to make me feel better. But like Data, because it's something people say, but Data doesn't just say things that people say.
I think it's an excellent point.
I think I'm an excellent point. What do you think,
Jesse?
An excellent
point, well stated.
What do you think?
Well rendered. You rendered that point well.
I see no reason to discuss it further.
Jesse's like, is it time for another break? Almost, Jesse. We're almost there.
No.
They had to go. It took them 42 hours at maximum warp to get there. What do you think they mean by maximum warp in this instance? 9.9 or whatever?
Conveniently, we have no. We do have insufficient information. I believe this is after they set the warp limit. I can't 100% remember.
Is 9.9, is that like hard to get to, or like when they say maximum warp, is there a maximum warp?
It just depends on what they're feeling in an episode.
Is it like max headroom?
Is it like a speed limit? Is there like a casual max warp they go, and then like there's a super max warp that you don't really want to go unless you're fucked up? Super max would be 9.9, but like max.
Casual max.
But casual max would be like 9, and super max would be like 9.9.
I want to meet this casual max fella.
Casual max.
Who are you, casual max?
Sounds like a groovy dude to hang out with.
Are you intend to tell dude?
Groovy.
Are you
groovy
as groovy as they say, casual Max?
So this Nikolai guy, he was really like kind of throw it in all their faces this whole time, his whole plan. Like everyone was pissed off at him the whole time. And like, and he just, the way he described like the situation, he was all calm about it. Yeah, he was all like, he's like, Worf, you worry too much. He's like, and he kept explaining to Worf, he's like, see Worf, if I do this and this is
gonna work out.
And it's like, I just gotta do this and this. And like, that's not the point. Worf doesn't give a shit like how he's gonna do it. He's pissed that he did it. And that's what Nikolai seems to not understand, because another point, Nikolai's like, I did what you couldn't, Worf. And it's like, that's entirely missing the point. It's not that Worf couldn't do that. It's that Worf is...
You're not supposed to do that.
Worf did what he believed you're not supposed to do. He thought he was being... He felt he was being disciplined. And Nikolai was mistaking discipline for... incompetence? I don't know. Like so,
or cowardice.
Yeah,
a lot of times, rule follow. And I honestly, I think this is another interesting part of the episode. And it's unfortunately they didn't really expand on it. But this argument they're having about these different philosophies they have, and Worf is a real rule follower. And although he doesn't state it outright, Nikolai is kind of saying like, you know, following rules sometimes that's like a coward's excuse.
So
it's like the whole following orders thing is like, hey, nothing I could do. I was just following the rules.
Right.
And Nikolai, and maybe this is, I identify with him a little bit, his rebel side. And I think that Worf takes away from this episode a little bit is like, you know what? Maybe the rules are not always 100%.
So you're saying Nikolai isn't missing the point by saying that. What he's doing is he's like sticking it to Worf and being like, you know, you couldn't do this because you're too scared.
I think
to
if they weren't
like
brothers,
this.
They would be having they could be having a similar discussion without like screaming at each other and like with better
when
words.
At one point, like in the episode, Nikolai like grabs Worf's wrist and like Worf turns around and he like looks at his hand. Yeah. They don't really draw much attention to it in the episode, but like, yeah, I'll get to that too. But like he grabs him the wrist and Worf is like looking down on his wrist. And like, I was thinking like he wanted to fucking smack Nikolai in that instance. It was just a brief moment.
I could kill you.
But yeah, there was like the tiger claw moment too, where thing. Like Nikolai got in his fighting stance. Yeah. And that was
well, and then it didn't Worf kill somebody as a kid? I forget if that story came before this or after this. I remember that like at some point, because Worf is talking about how he followed the rules as a kid, but I recall him like reining in a lot of his Klingonness at a certain point and getting disciplined after he was playing soccer or something, and I think he killed a kid. I don't know. Oh. Maybe I'm remembering that wrong. Maybe that's a Deep Space Nine thing. It's just a vague memory. But you know what's not a vague memory? The concept of breaks.
We must leave.
Taking a
gather
break.
Your belongings.
And we'll take a break. And when we come back, We got a couple things. We a couple more things to go over to close out this show. And I do have something we haven't done in a little while, which is Tongo or Fizbin.
It is the sign of LaForge.
Almost. Okay, we'll be
Tongo
right back.
Tongo or Fizbin?
Tongo or Fizbin? Tongo. All right.
We'll return shortly.
We'll get to that when we get back. And we will be right back. Alrighty, we have returned.
Just to finish up the Nikolai not giving a fuck. When he was telling the crew about his plan to like do all his shit, he was so casually explaining it all. Like, I guess you could just say there's no point in being emotional, but it almost seemed smug the way he was like describing his whole plan to everyone. Like
confidence slash smug.
Yeah,
somewhere on that.
And he's just talking about like, see, this would be so great because we just do it like this, and everyone in the whole ship is like pissed as fuck at him.
And remember that.
And
point
he doesn't
where he,
seem and he doesn't seem to be fazed by it at all.
And remember when he's telling Picard doesn't even ask the question, but he just preempts him by saying, I can't plan for everything, but yeah, I'm gonna think it on my feet. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'm gonna think it on
and
my
when
feet,
he says
right.
that, he says that with such confidence. I'm watching him like, I believe you. I believe you.
Yeah.
I'm hiring you today, sir.
Mm-hmm.
You're a self starter.
You're hired.
But the reason he can get through with what he does is, as Worf says, other people pick up the pieces for him. So, you know, and it's just it's a trick.
It is the other
thing. He's a grifter.
I found this a little weak of this episode was that at the end, when he and Worf are reconciling, he's like, I'm finally taking responsibility for the person I illegally made pregnant.
Yeah, right.
Finally. What do you mean? That's not like this does not read as responsibility. It reads as you.
Yeah,
you're like going illegally living with these people and fucking with the Prime Directive each and every single day.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Another thing they could have focused on. As that's the problem, not you know, not the observing, not the saving their lives. It's the intermingling with the group.
How could you have made it with a Borellan?
It was a little uncomfortable how.
Yeah.
How Worf said that. I knew what he meant. And a little tone of...
They just look like,
I mean,
look
I guess
like humans with funny noses.
I guess it's responsible to, like, take care of your kid, but you don't go around talking about, like, you know...
Well, and he's...
Like
and
how
the baby
you're
will, the baby will be half human, so he will have half, like, less nose.
That's a good
nose.
Point. I didn't even think about that.
And they didn't address it in the episode because it's an awkward... It wouldn't help the Pat ending.
And speaking of...
The episode.
Speaking of...
Ever since Varn was lost... People have been afraid.
Dobara.
Oh, yes. Penny Johnson Jones.
Penny, she was on Deep Space Nine as Cassidy Yates.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that, thank you.
Sorry.
No, I can see you're very excited about it.
And
she was on the Orville as well.
Yes.
As Dr. Claire Finn, who dates the robot.
Robot. I am the robot.
You know what? It's seeming less and less likely that the Orville will be renewed for a new season.
I don't know. I just read something where somebody was like, you know what? Maybe it will be.
It's been up in the air for a while now, and the longer it's up in the air, the more I think it's not going to happen.
It'll be like a really long time.
I would really like another season of the Orville. I enjoy the Orville.
Pro Orville.
Yeah.
Okay. Now Tongo or Fizbin.
But she was on this episode too, which was
a little bit.
But this
episode.
Was before DS. Well, no, this was concurrent with DS9 was, but before she appeared.
I think it was before she appeared
on
her
DS9.
Character did not appear on Deep Space Nine till later. Okay, now, this actually works very well because Tongo or Fizbin, we haven't done this in a while, but to remind folks and to let new folks in on the deal, and particularly to remind Dan, because I don't think he remembers, Tongo or Fizbin is sort of like a truth or fiction type situation.
What is
right?
this?
Where I have three items, and one of the items is false. And the other two items are true.
Why would they be different?
And you have to guess which one is the false one. Got it? Tongo or Fizbin?
I refuse to be bound by an abstraction.
Tongo is real and Fizbin is fake. Okay, Tongo or Fizbin?
Oh, that you're insane.
Yes. And yes, I stole this idea from The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. All right. Item number one, a wildfire in the canyon where much of this episode's outdoor scenes were filmed halted production, but luckily most of the crew and actors did not die horribly in the inferno.
I mean, it could have gone without sort of the editorializing at the end, with like dying horribly in an inferno.
It's not an editorial.
Yeah, it is, because like saying died horribly,
Of them did not.
Most of them, I know, did not die horribly. You could have just said most of them did not die in the fire. But when you use words like die horribly in the Inferno. These are kind of subjective style. I mean, Inferno in and of itself is not, but when you put it in context, it's kind of a subjective interpretation.
All right. Item number two, the main camera operator on the bridge set misaligned the height settings on the camera due to an intense nitrous and salvia bender the night before.
Yeah. Resulting
in everything being shot 6 inches higher and 2 inches more to the left than normal.
That is not possible.
So wait, you're saying one of these is true?
One of these is false. Two of them are true.
Which, and Tongo is true.
Yes. Item number three, third item. As a practical joke, Paul Sorvino tricked Michael Dorn into eating several copies of the novel Ragged Dick by Horatio Alger. All right, which one?
I think these are all false.
Which one is the fake one?
This is bullshit.
Tongo or Fizz?
What is this?
What do you think, Jesse? Which one is the fake one?
Well, that you're insane.
Number two. Oh, you think the camera operator getting high on nitrous and salvia.
I do not know.
The night before led to everything being shot slightly off. Mm-hmm. So you picked number two as the fake one. Dan, which, you got to pick one.
I have to pick one.
You have to pick one as being the fake. whichever one you want to be the fake.
No.
It might benefit. Pick one. What do you think?
We must leave. Gather your belongings.
But he wouldn't have died alone and afraid.
Don't you have any numbers on there? You can't click a number sound effect.
They're all fizzboed, bro. I mean, if I had to pick one, I'd say number three was fake because nobody's going to eat a bunch of fucking books. But, like, they're all fake.
Actually, they're not all fake. The fire one's actually true.
So it wasn't even like they're all false. It was like, there's only one of them correct instead of two. Yeah. That was the trick?
That was the trick.
The trick should have been that they were all false.
Well, that's what I did the last couple times. I think in one of them, one of the items was was that the Doctor and Voyager had like accidentally set some children on fire who were losing.
So I think though that you added the words horribly and Inferno to the. I think you added those. I think you threw those words in yourself.
I mean, I did compose these. Yes. Yeah. But no, there was actually a fire.
I did compose them. No, I believe there was a fire.
I believe there was a fire,
but you added.
Nobody died.
You editorialized it.
But it was the production.
There
was,
are turbulent radiation storms across much of its surface.
Well, no one rid me of this turbulent podcast co-host.
The stratosphere is already breaking down.
Anyway, they had to stop for a little while, and they were actually nervous that they were going to have to find a whole new location, and it was going to be a problem because they'd already filmed in the location, and so they were like, "Oh my god, we'll have to like do all this refilming." Anyway, the fire didn't end up burning down the part that where they had filmed. Okay,
I believe that.
Okay, that was another edition of Tongo and Fizbin.
I know things must look very strange to you.
We can get back. Now, you mentioned Penny Johnson Gerald, who we've seen in other...
yes, that is correct.
Nine and other places. The person who played Vorin, who was named Michael...
Vorin has left the holodeck.
Did you hear Worf rhymed here?
Vorin has left the holodeck. Vorin has left the holodeck.
See, that's a rhyme.
Brian Markinson. Brian Markinson played Vorin. Do you remember where you might have seen him before? I'm not 100% sure if you guys have seen this episode.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't know.
He's on a couple episodes of Voyager as a lieutenant or something, but I mainly remember him from Deep Space Nine. He was in that episode In the Cards with Jake and Nog and the baseball card they're trying to get. He plays this like weirdo, like this weirdo that Jake and Nog are trying to do some like business with.
It is a fantastic story.
Yeah,
he's got a memorable face.
Wait, is that the one where they do that gag where they like keep trading the thing for the other thing?
Because they're trying to get his dad a present.
They're stem bolts, isn't it? Something about self-sealing
stem bolts.
Yeah,
but he played that Elias Geiger guy in that where he had like a weird sleep pod and stuff. And I really like this actor. And I kind of wish he'd come back for some modern Star Trek. It'd be kind of awesome if he showed up in one of these more recent series. But the Vorin character, this whole situation is also very interesting because they, again, and I think you hinted at this earlier, Dan, that they didn't really fully dig into this. I don't know. It was kind of fast. It was kind of fast. It was a classic
fish. I think it was some form of ritual suicide.
You know, it was a classic fish out of water. There's so much from this. There's so much DNA from this episode that comes from Who Watches so the much, Watchers.
I can't take that seriously when you say there's DNA all over
make you
something.
Think of, does it make you think of the Gentleman's Relish?
Yeah.
You are evidently a suicidal maniac.
I think it was some form of ritual suicide.
Cue suicide.
Suicide.
Suicide. Suicide.
Suicide.
And what's he say this one?
You were trying to commit suicide.
No, this episode.
I think it was some form of ritual suicide.
She says it more normal.
Mm-hmm. Suicide.
Suicide. Suicide.
You were trying to commit suicide.
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 I think it was some form of ritual suicide.
Yeah,
suicide.
She just said straight suicide, not
suicide.
Suicide. What does Atos say?
You are evidently a suicidal maniac.
That's normal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to help you plan our suicide.
I don't remember what that's from.
That's from Detained, I believe.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, isn't that the we're dangerous?
We're dangerous. A great line. It's a great line. That we're dangerous line.
Are you trying to tap it? Are you looking for it?
We're dangerous.
I was like, what's going on?
I was like, Dan is giving me the body signals that he's about to play a sound clip.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where would I stay?
Okay, yes. But, oh yeah, Vorin, what'd you think about this whole story? It's a little abbreviated. The actor's great. The DNA. The DNA. This has a lot of DNA from the Who Watches the Watchers, because in that episode, we have somebody who gets beamed to the Enterprise and sees the planet from above, and they're not supposed to because they don't know spaceships exist. And you have anthropologist type people who hide using holograms and deflector shields and stuff and observe local communities.
Hologram.
Like what Nikolai was doing.
Holograms.
Right? So this is in many ways sort of like a spiritual sequel to that, except instead of dealing with Picard getting shot in the chest by a local person, now you're moving this whole culture thing. My point was lost somewhere in there, except I just want to
know. I know things maybe must look very note that strange
whole,
to you.
That connection between that. Oh, yeah, because this whole Vorin guy, it's got this whole fish out of water Vorin guy on the ship thing.
I don't remember how the one you're referencing, how that character played it, but I thought he did a great job of like looking like freaked the fuck out.
Yeah.
He was actually visibly shaking.
It was Pamela Adlon, voice of Bobby Hill. And she was also very good, except hers went like, oh, wow, this is amazing.
Right, okay.
Versus
so
this guy's like, I don't know.
And then one of the close-up shots, it was semi-close-up of his face. Like, you could visibly see him shaking. Yes. Like, I thought that was really good.
The actor's great.
Yeah, and he really put across, I thought, like you said, it was all abridged, but the parts that were there were interesting, most of them.
Yeah.
After he committed suicide, it was just kind of like, eh. But like, while he did a great job of conveying this concept that he is freaked the fuck out, and he yes. might as well be in some kind of like afterlife sort of weird craziness. It made me feel like, it allowed me to imagine what it must be like to be like end up in like some Matrix situation or some shit like that, you know? So I thought,
and the scene,
and he looked so freaked out, and
the scene in 10 Forward.
Yeah, and
can you imagine that as like aliens surrounding you and being like,
they're all slowly walking up to
you. Do you need any help?
Yeah, I was just picturing that all these aliens surrounding me, and then like Riker was like back there, because he was there because he was concerned for the guy, but you could also tell he was like
back off.
He was like gonna have to jump in if some shit went what's the word?
Sideways.
I kept saying went left, and I was like, that's not.
It's that phrase something going sideways is a reference to the movie with Paul Giamatti, where he's all like, "Fuck Merlot." You know?
Oh yeah, Sideways, the movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that movie Sideways.
Yeah, that's where that phrase comes from.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
when something's going, not. When something goes sideways.
No.
Yes.
That is not possible.
You can't be serious.
What do you know? What do you know, man?
So when the holodeck was draining too much power, what Data says, it says there appears to be an unusual power drain in the EPS distribution net. Again with the EPS.
I know.
Where's Trip Tucker the Third when you need him?
I was thinking that. It's like a lot of EPS. And Worf was all like, check the EPS conduits.
Right. All those EPS conduits all over the place, you know. He loves those things. He thinks they're great. He just thinks they're the best.
Who, Trip or Worf?
Trip Tucker the Third.
Charles Tucker the Third.
Where would I stay?
T'Pol.
Whoops. T'Pol. I cut that off too early.
T'Pol. You did. Play it again.
Where would I stay? Well, I had no doubt about that.
That's true for the most part. Silic. Son of a bitch.
I don't get it.
Yep. People should watch Enterprise.
I don't get it.
I'm reminded every now and then that
it's a good show.
Not enough people watch Enterprise.
Yeah, that was remember being bummed when it got canceled because like yeah. it was that first Star Trek where people were like, is this really Star Trek or something? But like I was into it. It was different, you know? Because nobody ever said to DS9 or Voyager, no one ever came. I mean, I'm sure there were people, but I don't think the concept where people started being like, this isn't Star Trek, didn't really. I guess it happened with TNG.
It's happened with TNG.
But like that's different because that's been so much time passed. Yeah. I don't know. But I guess, you know, about the same amount of time passed from TNG to TOS between TNG and the newest ones. So maybe I'm just talking out of my ass.
You may, but perhaps not.
Okay, so TNG, Voyager, and DS9.
What do you think, Jesse? Do you think this guy's talking out of his ass?
Not at the moment.
I don't know.
Not at this instant.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Captain.
Well, TNG, DS9, and Voyager were all treated like what people who like TNG, whether they like DS9 or Voyager, I don't think the question came up so much with those people, is this still Star Trek? When Enterprise came around, they were like, this isn't Star Trek.
I think the Enterprise, it was just, there was a lot of fatigue at that point. I'm sure I had it too. And it was another ship flying around.
But the thing was, its presentation was totally different. It had a more theatric presentation.
I think it benefits from some distance.
Is that the one where they had, like in the other TNGs, they didn't have a ceiling in any of their sets? And wasn't there one where they finally had ceilings?
Deep Space Nine, actually, the hallways, I think, had actual ceilings.
Okay,
I think,
not man,
there's something. There was some.
But anyways, the presentation of Enterprise. I remember reading some article on the internet at the time, and I don't remember by who or what, but they were saying like, they were saying like, I finally get Enterprise. It's about relationships between people, and I was like, I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
That's just a TV show.
Yeah, right. I know.
They've just described a television.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really get what they were getting at.
I like TV,
but Enterprise was presented like, I think it was just like I said, the film quality, you know, and the shots they took and the camera lenses they used. I think it was just like the presentation of how they did the shots, you know.
Presentation, man.
You know how the shots are all different. They use a different style of shots. You do different shots.
Give me the shot.
Because
TNG,
DS9, and Voyager all had the same style of shots, you know?
Similar style, yeah. I mean, they had their own vibes,
I don't know how the smart guy film dude way of wording that is.
You got it. I think it's fine. Mm-hmm. I think everyone understands what you're saying. Mm-hmm. The smart guy.
I'm not sure.
What did you say? The smart guy film way?
The smart guy film way, yeah.
The smart guy film way. That should be a website. Smartguyfilmway.com.
Smartguyfilmway.
It's just a glossary of theatrical terms, television production terms. Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else major about this episode? I did think that some of the stuff at the end, it was cute, but like I was confused by one thing. Worf is just like, can I take this Chronicle thing?
And
he just takes it. And Nikolai's like, yeah, you can take it. It's like, Nikolai, it's not your business. It's not your Chronicle thing.
And like fucking Vorin was
like, no, you're not only fucking with these people and impregnating them, you've taken leadership over the village. How is that? You have all this knowledge in your head. How are you going to preserve their culture by leading their village and impregnating their women?
And yeah, Vorin was all fucking bummed out because they lost like the last, they had like 17 or whatever, yeah. And they lost the last six or...
Exactly. He died. He essentially died.
He died. Right.
He died in order to try to get that back.
Right. To try to get that one of them back. And then I don't know how many he said he lost. He'd lost a bunch of them. How many did he say?
He said he was only able to preserve six, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Was it 14 total?
This will always be the same. Chronicle has been maintained for 17 generations.
Ooh, 17.
But I was only able to save the last six, and he was all bummed about that. Yeah, and he almost died to get it. And now, yeah, fucking Nikolai's just, I wrote that down too. It's like, he just fucking gave it to him. And it's kind of rude of Worf to even ask, just be like, hey, can I just take this? You know, it's
like if this was a prestige drama today, you might think that was the writers explicitly stating this Nikolai guy is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you haven't had all these other clues that he's a piece of shit,
but
he's just casually tossing away their cultural heritage of the people he claims to love.
Yeah. But you know what, like I just said, Worf shouldn't have even asked that question.
It was an odd question. Well,
what was also odd was
just like, I'm all super into this all of a sudden.
When Worf sees the Chronicle for the first time and with Vorin, he's all,
what is this?
He's all confused by Vorin's chronicle, as if he's never seen a history book before. He was like, what is this? He's like, oh, these are a chronicle. We keep track of what we say. Don't you have anything like that? He's like, we tell stories and sing songs. It's like, yes, but you've heard of history books before, haven't you? Like, you know.
Eat any good books lately?
Klingons, maybe Klingons have
Horatio Alger.
Maybe Klingons have
Ragged Dick.
Maybe Klingons have stories and sing songs, but they still have computer records and shit like that. Just think of a chronicle as a very simplified computer record. I just had a hard time believing that Worf was confused by a chronicle.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I'm right there with you. I'm not emoting as much as you are.
Maybe that's why he wanted it so bad, is because he just didn't get it that much. He was like, I still don't understand what this is. It's just a neat trinket I can take with me for a nice keepsake. Yeah, these people's fucking cultural heritage, like you said, is a nice trinket for Worf to keep.
I did like the joke that he was like, Nikolai was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take over the chronicling. And yeah. Worf was like, you can't draw.
Yeah,
and right. Nikolai, because he's a piece of shit, was like, I'm starting to think he's a piece of shit. He was all like, I'll learn. I'm a fast learner. Yeah, I was like, wait a second. You're just confident about all this shit, aren't you? And it doesn't help that you actually save these people, because they're just going to feed into his God complex. Mm-hmm. I came into this podcast episode being like totally on his side. And now I'm like, man, fuck this dude.
You know what they should, in addition to the chronicles, they should also, Klingons do stories and songs. The Boralans do chronicles. They should do all three, because songs and stories songs and stories don't get eaten up by storms, right? Because like that guy lost all his fucking stories in the storm, and then like, you know, but the problem is the stories changed it around. So you need all three, so you can practice redundancy, so you can have integrity in your data, which is one of the three principles of data security. Is you want integrity.
You've explained this before.
You want integrity. Yes. And that could
How
also
many principles
be,
are there? Three?
There's three. There's integrity, availability, and one more.
Wait. These are philosophies for dating?
No.
What was it? Integrity, it's, availability, and what?
It's the three data security
dating security.
No, you're doing this on purpose.
What was it? Availability. Shouldn't you know this? Are you going to get in trouble that you can't recall the third one?
Oh, yeah, it's confidentiality. Sorry.
There you go. Confidentiality, availability, and what was it? Negronis.
Pierogies.
Not the disease.
Pierogies. Sorry, I meant pierogies.
Pierogies.
No, integrity, availability, and confidentiality.
Dating security
now,
philosophy.
Redundancy, if you have stories and you have songs and you have a written down chronicle, you practice redundancy, which is a part of integrity. But you could also argue that it's a part of availability as well.
Well, and I was going to say the availability comes down to resource allocation. And while it might not seem like it, all these forms take up a certain degree of resource allocation, whether in time, expertise, etc., even in societies of this
society's type. Nuts.
That's Jesse signaling that we are almost done with the podcast.
Yep.
He's like, I don't need Patrick to start talking about societies and shit now.
Did you notice there's a part where Worf was telling Geordi to hurry up, and Geordi was getting all pissed off.
Don't rush Geordi.
Yeah, he's like, I'm running every stabilization routine I know.
On the other hand, I did find it funny that when Worf was getting his pre-surgery talk from Dr. Crusher, how they were all like real chill when just 2 minutes before they're like, oh yeah, this planet's gonna, the atmosphere is gonna be stripped away in just a few hours. They're like, it's fine. We got like 30 hours. We can take a few hours to do this surgery.
We got a spaceship.
They seem to, and this was true in Death Wish, they kind of conveniently kill off the character that would otherwise be forced to have to be dealt with later in the show. Yeah. Like, you know,
Star Trek likes murdering people.
They just kill him off.
Like
you know?
Tuvok. I mean, Tuvix.
Right. And, well, Tuvix, that was a little different.
I know,
because
it was
that
a little different.
That was more just different. like a philosophical question. But this is
it was
like,
also different because he ran around the bridge screaming desperately for his life.
Right. Yeah.
Everyone just stared at him blankly, emotionless.
Like, I don't know. They didn't have to kill off Vorn, though, in this instance. They could have just sent him to another fucking ship somewhere. Because that's what they did with Riker. Bill... Barry Riker?
Bilbo Riker. You got it.
Barry Riker?
Bilbo Riker.
Was it Martin Riker?
Martin Riker. Now you're thinking of Martin Freeman, who played Bilbo. Bilbo.
Gary Riker?
Marg Riker.
G- Gary?
Mark Riker.
What was the other Riker's name?
Thomas Riker.
Yes, Tom Riker.
Gary Mitchell?
I'm not joking, Lee.
All right. All right.
Tom Riker. Yeah, they didn't kill off Tom Riker, so I'm glad they didn't kill off Tom Riker. But they only did that because he's Riker. Okay. But that would have made more sense to kill him off, because that's just adds a whole level of confusion to this whole universe.
Again, I thought you were about to play a sound effect.
Oh, no, I'm looking at the wrong machine to do that.
Okay. all right. Anything else? Because otherwise, I think we can close up shop here.
Schnapp. We can close off schnapp.
On this here podcast.
We can close off schnapp. Looks like you had too many schnapps.
All right.
You had not one schnapp. You had many schnapps.
You're just being
many,
silly.
Many schnapps. Okay.
I thought.
Ting tang. Walla walla bing bang.
I thought it was, even though it was so. Even the concept of
Ting Tang Walla Walla Bing Bang.
Even though the concept of Nikolai beaming that whole colony off without the colony knowing, without the Enterprise knowing,
and how it's 100 people or something. Like,
yeah, even though that was unlikely, they did make an attempt, because they went through the effort of having him glitch out their whole system,
their screen a little.
So I thought that was nice that they at least made an attempt to cover up the transport, because they at that point they could have just had him transport it without them. They could have just done it.
They could have
They could have just not approached that concept, whereas the audience would be like, how did they not detect that? The audience can't ask that question now, because we know how they didn't see it. We know it's because he covered up with the glitch. What we don't know is how nobody found out,
nobody.
We don't know how, the people on the planet didn't find out.
They all
we
ate a bunch of melatonin before bed.
We don't know how he had the security clearance to do such a thing. We didn't know how he was able to override, Worf's security credential. There's a lot of other things we don't know.
We don't know a lot of stuff. But what we do know is that this is the conclusion of this episode of It's Got Star Trek.
Put it on screen.
We hope we don't have that capacity yet, but we do hope you enjoy it. Enjoyed it.
I got a good one here.
Yeah, that is a good one.
A solid. Mm-hmm.
It's like
usually they have like
it's awesome and slightly aggravating.
Usually they'll have some noise. Or they'll have they'll have it like
music sting a little
music
bit.
Or like the door swooshing sound will overlap
talking.
It.
Talking.
Yeah. Just talking something
that's
like
a
that.
A good clean one. Nice clean one. Okay. So
everywhere you go, you create
chaos.
I am
an old man.
Well, we take this next week off. No, we're not taking a week off. That implies the wrong thing. No. The next week is normal.
It explies. It does not imply it explies.
There's going to be a podcast next week. We don't know the topic yet, but Dan's algorithm will eat this algorithm. It'll slurp up.
It's going to eat it.
It'll eat this episode.
Oh, can I?
It'll slurp up this episode.
I'm sorry. There's one more thing I wanted
to
play.
Okay, Dan's going to push the button.
This is a duty moment.
Okay. Oh, good.
Your duty was to respect the captain's orders.
Here's another one.
Duty. That's all that really matters to you, isn't it?
That's all that really matters to him. And this one.
Of course not. You are too busy doing your duty.
I would rather be accused of that than making our mother weep. Your duty was to respect the captain's orders.
Should be a fart sound after the mother weep thing.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, play that and then do the fart.
Wait.
He's doing some live.
Oh my God!
Live wiggling here.
Click
on the. Whoops. No, you gotta click.
I know. I didn't mean to do it.
With us for a second, audience. We're gonna get there.
We're gonna get there.
In the end, we will get there.
We will get there. We just have to vamp for a little bit. We might have to trim some fat along the way. We're gonna put people through this.
I think so.
Okay.
You had it a moment ago.
Of course not. You were too busy doing your duty.
I would rather be accused of that than making our mother weep.
No. You gotta do it again.
Of course not. You were too busy doing your duty.
No. I would rather be accused of that than making our mother weep.
I think I'm suggesting the fart should not come in the middle. It should come after Worf says making our mother weep. Okay. Because what it does is you think the fart is going to come after the duty.
Oh, I see.
But it doesn't happen, and then it happens after.
Subverting expectations. That's what makes things funny.
And even though I've explained that, it's still going to be funny when you do it. Listen.
Of course not. You were too busy doing your duty.
I would rather be accused of that than making our mother weep.
That was funny. There was a weird whistling noise in the episode. See if you can hear it.
I'm not enthusiastic about this plan.
Whoops, that was not all. That was not that big. Oh, hold on.
I'm not enthusiastic about this plan. But I don't see that we have another option.
Oh, you didn't hear it. Wait, let's see.
But I don't see that we have another option.
There's a squeak in the background.
Yeah.
But I don't see that we have another option.
It's like a bird.
It's like right after he breathes out and before he talks.
But I don't see that we have another option.
You think that's just some sort of hilarious, like,
it sounds like a
vocal cord business?
Communicator.
I thought it was like maybe Picard was doing the Picard maneuver where he like pulls his shirt down
and something squeaks
and his clothes
squeak.
Is it
the Picard maneuver or something else?
Probably. But like I thought it was the sound of fabric squeaking. Like
squeaking across a nipple? You think it's across a
that gross. I hate that sound when fabric, like when it's like something like you're when it squeaks across another piece of fabric or like or like a pillow or it's like it squeaks on some other thing.
What do they call that? Like asomnia or something?
Oh, I hate that sound.
Yeah, that's like it's like the opposite of ASMR.
Yeah, but I don't think it's that because I rewind it and he didn't pull his uniform down. So I don't know. Jesse says it's a communicator. Patrick thinks it's a bird.
I think it's probably some like one of those like weird little glitches in your vocal cords.
But I don't see that we have another option.
Yeah, it does kind of sound like it sounds maybe, like yeah, it maybe. Sounds like maybe he's got something caught in his throat. But it comes sounds like it's from the off in the distance. I don't know. We'll never know.
Could be a crumpet.
And I like how she says this word.
Worried that we won't reach our new home.
She says worried.
I'm worried that we won't reach our new home.
Yeah. That one was less exciting.
All right, good. Well, we've added
five
minutes.
Of course not. You're too busy doing your duty.
5 minutes.
I would rather be accused of that than making our mother weep.
But five. We've added 5 minutes, but five good minutes to the podcast.
Had to end it on a good one.
But that'll do it for us this week. The algorithm will tell us what we'll be doing next week. Follow us on social media to find out what you should be watching for next week.
My guess, William Shatner.
It's probably going to be
William Shatner.
It's probably going to be Deep Space Nine or Enterprise. That would be my guess because that's what we're due.
Yep.
Our social media at It's Got Star Trek. All the major places, Twitter, Blue Sky, Mastodon, etc. YouTube, Facebook. The website is www.discussstartrek.com. Email is feedback@discussstartrek.com. Sending voicemails, you can send them to www.discussstartrek.com.
I'll see what I can do.
/record. That covers all the business. That'll do it for us this week.
And it worked. Perfect.
We'll talk to you again next week. Goodbye.
We must leave. Gather your belongings. Do not worry. It is an omen.
What does it mean?
It is the sign of LaForge.